Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now, they call me the queen of predictable sales results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an x-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, her zone of genius is her ability to connect people with their best, higher version of themselves. And that includes institutions, because people matter. So I'm super excited to introduce Dr. Marcia Foster Boyd. Now, Marcia is a proven thought leader in the field of higher education. She spent 25 years as a professor, dean, accrediting officer, and school president. A hallmark of her leadership is her passionate focus on bringing people together across boundaries to find new, fertile, and not so common ground on which to build new relationships and strategies to affect growth in individuals, institutions, and in our world. Now, Marcia is an experienced educational strategist and consultant, having worked with more than 50 schools, faculties, and leadership teams over the past 20 years. In retirement, she established Catalyst Connections Global, where she sees her work impacting institutions by facilitating conversations and workshops and engaging in personal coaching with administrators and leadership teams. Marcia is also sought after as a keynote speaker and has received many honors and awards for her illustrious and influential contributions. Well, welcome, Dr. Boyd. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thank you so much, Wendy. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and I just love how your work is really all about creating that common ground. In essence, it sounds like it's all about uniting people. And I can't wait to hear more about this and the work that you're now doing.
Thank you.
And, you know, top of my list always, because this is typically one of those crossroads in people's lives, what exactly was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching and consulting?
Well, as your intro said, I've worked in education, higher education, for 25 years, and I retired about 7 years ago. And in retirement, looking ahead, I said, well, I've got 20 to 25 more years that I can be effective in bringing that experience to bear in the lives of other educators and professionals. So that's why I started Catalyst Connection.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have so much expertise within academic, and it stands to reason that you would want to bring that ability to make those changes and having that vision impact others. So that's, yeah, that is very exciting. I'm excited that you took that risk and decided to continue in your efforts there to make a difference. So how long have you had your own consulting and coaching practice? And has your business mission or vision evolved during that time?
I've been doing this for about 4 years. And I would say that my mission, and that mission for me, as you said, is to bring people together, no matter who they are, across the differences that we have as we work in communities, as we work in professional settings, to bring people together to create something new. So these days when we talk about pivoting and innovation. I guess that's what I've been helping people to do all along and didn't know what to call it. So the business that I'm doing now is exactly that, still bringing people together across their differences. So the mission hasn't changed. Another thing about the work that I do and the clients that I have, because of the small community, if you will, of educators in my niche, which is really theological education. So that's a very particular group of people, people going into ministries of all kinds. I was able then, because of that influence, people, when they heard that I was starting a business, said, well, I want to talk to Marcia. So that was great that I had a reputation. And I think that's important for entrepreneurs, is what is the reputation that you're bringing into your work as an entrepreneur. So I had already had influence in the field of higher education, and people were interested in calling me to say, we need help with our faculty, or I would like you to talk to my leadership team. And then sometimes the presidents and deans individually want coaching. So that's the other part of what I've done, is the individual coaching as a part of my work.
I love that, how you have really leaned on that credibility that you earned over the course of your career and have that become something that you can really utilize as a way that people look to you for advice. So that makes total sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way in these past 4 years of building your coaching and consulting?
The biggest challenge when you're retired is saying, what do I want to do with my time? Mm-hmm. So I could be as busy or as at leisure as, you know, as I want to be. And at first, that was an issue, as I wanted to be as busy as I was in the other part of my life when I was working for an institution. Right. So I had to say, no, you don't have to be that busy. You don't have to work that hard because you're retired. So the early challenge was just to monitor how much I was saying yes. I think that for a lot of us, you know, we want to do it. We want to do it all. And to be able to pull myself back and say, I don't have to work as hard, quote unquote, as I did when I was working in the institutions that I served. Mm-hmm. So that was a challenge at first. And I think the other challenge was myself feeling secure enough to put myself out there. I think for anyone starting a business, that's a great hurdle that many of us to overcome, and was something that I had a coach who said, you know, you can monetize your experience, you can monetize your influence, you can monetize your expertise, and learning how to do that, of course, is a challenge, but having the confidence, I think, is what I'm talking about, the confidence to step out on my own was the biggest challenge, I think, early on.
Mm-hmm. I can completely understand that, you know, and a lot of people, once they retire, they figure, well, that's that, but you carried this torch and felt the need to continue making a big difference. And like you said, you have been a visionary or a front runner in things that are so current right now, but you have been that front runner for years before we came up with some of the popular words right now. So I find it very interesting that the need to almost have validation to build your confidence that, yeah, I can make a difference beyond the academic world. And I know you mentioned that you secured a coach or a mentor to help you gain that confidence, but what was the biggest thing that propelled you to overcome that lack of confidence in the first place and say, no, I've got something here that I need to carry forward?
Well, that's a good question. And for me, it was, I do have something to contribute. I still have something to contribute.
Yeah.
And I want to make that contribution. So I was motivated to want to now be free to do it in the ways that I want to do it. And that was the encouragement that when you're working for someone else, you have certain constraints and responsibilities and all of that, which can preclude one from really doing what one wants to do in that job. So now being free, I could just say, this is what I want to do, and this is how much time I want to give it, and then this is the audience that I want to reach. So it really was liberating, if you will, for me to be able to be free now to do my work in the ways that I enjoy doing it, which is the one-on-one coaching and the consulting with teams and institutions.
Yeah, that's great. So it sounds like you really leaned on that inner passion.
Exactly.
And that burning desire to continue making a difference. So yeah, I love that. That's powerful. That is powerful. It takes a lot of courage, but that vision and that passion within you overpowered the confidence or self-value issues, it sounds like, and kept the flame going. So,
I would also say that this work for me is a calling. So I think that's a difference. That the motivation is yes from me, but it's also from the universe, from the world that we're living in, and compelling me to offer at this time in my life what I can to help the world to be a better place for all of us.
Right. Yeah. You're the conduit. I love that. Yeah. That's great. Well, you know, Marcia, you're obviously an expert at really creating clarity around establishing common ground and helping people achieve unity and institutions achieve a higher level of impact. But I'm curious here, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? Because after all, we've got to get those clients. So do you have any frustrations or challenges with this important part of growing a successful business?
Well, I think for me, again, in retirement, I'm not as, I won't say concerned, because we're all concerned about the bottom line, which is making money. But that is not my driver. I'm not in this at this point in time to make my millions. I'm here essentially to give back. So the client base, because I was in a, you know, a small cadre, 250 theological schools at the time that I retired. Now there are about 300 accredited seminaries in the United States and Canada. So it's a small world. And I did have connections and maintained connections through professional organizations with people in my field. And that helped the client base. So it's almost like with my group, there's a ready-made client pool. Mm-hmm. And it's basically for me continuing to get my name out there. And I think for me, word of mouth has been most effective. People just tell each other in this small group of 300 or so schools, call this person or call that person. And my name is in the mix from time to time. And again, I'm as busy as I want to be. So people say, well, you say you're retired, but you're, you know, on the go and here and there. And that's funny too. So I've always been a person who's looking for making meaningful impact. Mm-hmm. And in retirement, with these 300 schools, I'm still known and people still call, and it's very gratifying. So getting clients, so to speak, has not been difficult for me.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Tapping into that pool of resources where you already have that credibility is certainly a jump start to transitioning into having your own coaching practice or consulting service. So that's, yeah, that's great, because one of the key elements of having a potential client choose to work with you is the credibility and trust. Exactly. Two components, I should say, more accurately. Those are the two components that you're really tapping into, and that's that the credibility of your longevity within your career in this academic field and the work that you've been doing, and then the trust, knowing how you've delivered throughout that time. Those are two really important elements that have to be established before a prospective client feels confident. So that's great. I'm glad that that has benefited the work that you're doing now. And, you know, we've got this pandemic happening, have been for way too long, in my opinion. I thought we'd be done with it by now. But has the pandemic had any impact on the work that you do?
Not particularly. I think, you know, as everyone has had to go online and Zoom has taken over our lives, that's true for me as well. I think when I look at the institutional work, the pandemic has certainly impacted institutions and academic institutions having now to go online, and all that that takes institutionally has been part of what I did this past year. I was an interim academic dean at a seminary, and that was all the work from March until I finished that contract at the end of August, was how do we effectively take everything and everyone online? So not so much for me practically in my own entrepreneurial work, but working with an institution to help it become more agile in this pandemic time was really the work that I've been doing for the past 6 months.
Right, yeah.
And I'm so glad that that contract is over because it was a lot of work.
Oh boy, I can only begin to imagine the complexities going beyond, going into taking in-person classes and structures to completely virtual. So, I can see how that was a huge project. Well, how do you work with people or institutions who want to create community and really achieve those higher levels of success and greatness? Can you share a little bit about your philosophy and your approach?
Well, I am professionally trained as a pastoral counselor. So my counseling work comes into play as I work with individuals and systems. So I would say I take a systems approach to working with institutions as well as individuals. And the systems approach for me helps me to know that as I work with someone who's dealing with their professional issues, they also have what I call a parallel process. And that is that we work both on the personal and the professional, so that if a person is feeling insecure on the job, their chances are that personally, in their interpersonal life, they're also having challenges. And to help people know that we're whole persons, we bring our whole selves to our professional world, as well as our interpersonal connections. And it has been very helpful for me as I work with institutions. The thing about the institutions is that many times institutions tend to be siloed, if you will. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I'm in my cubby and I'm doing my work. I don't talk to the people in the other, you know, the other wing of the business.
Right.
And I think that for institutions, that passion of mine to bring people together across difference, I did have an impact. And the president of the school even said as I was leaving, one person can make a difference. You have made a difference in this institution, helping us to be able to talk to each other in a more open and honest way. Mm-hmm. And we did several what I call courageous conversations where we brought faculty and staff together. And I facilitated several of those conversations. But as I told them, you know, I'm also a facilitator professionally. So I did some of that with them.
Nice.
And it really made a difference. It did make a difference. So again, bringing people together across difference is my love, my passion, and something that I try to help people do as they are doing their own work.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I love that. That is so powerful and so needed. It just is, you know, that old corporate approach of, like you said, just doing my job and that's all I do. And I don't know anything about anybody else's stuff. And I stay out of that is really what keeps celebrating, you know, the divisions instead of creating the unity, and the strength comes from the unified efforts and everybody's on the same path to achieve a higher outcome or goal. So that, yeah, I just love the work that you're doing. It's so powerful and so needed, so needed. It's time. It's past due time.
Right? Thank you. And what I also realized is that an organization can't move past its leadership. Mm. So that's where I really have a passion. And I was the president of a school, so I know what it takes. I did that for 7 years, and I was a dean before that. And then as an accrediting officer for these schools, I saw a lot of bad leadership. Right. And I said, that's why I said, oh, I would never be the president of a school. And then when I was invited to, I said, well, now's my chance, you know, to do things a little differently. Right. And I really tried to center conversation. Let's talk. Let's come together. Let's hear from one another. And it really does. When people feel seen and when they feel heard, they're invested differently in the outcomes. That's what I tended to concentrate on. And then in the coaching work, to do that with presidents, CEOs, and leaders of institutions, to help them realize, you know, where are their roadblocks? Where are their difficulties in bringing these teams together? And so even in the individual coaching, I've really tried to concentrate on how do leaders then tear down these silos and bring their communities together.
Right. Yeah, that is powerful work. I love that. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
Well, I have a website, and it's catalystconnectionsglobal.com. catalystconnectionsglobal.com. And all my information is there and detailed. It also details the different things that I have done. And again, there's some testimonials, so you can see what other people have said about working with me. So that's catalystconnectionsglobal.com.
Okay, perfect. All right, fantastic. Yeah, I know that you've piqued a lot of people's interest here in talking about how to break down the silos and create unity without creating kind of what comes to mind is just this sense of too many chefs in the kitchen. So that's what's got my next step curiosity piqued here. Okay, well, how do you work your magic there when there are too many voices? Well, go ahead.
I was going to say that, again, helping people to realize that we each have expertise, we each have passion, and we each have roles to play. And doing my part, chances are, is going to take enough time rather than me trying to do my job and yours too.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and I believe that too. I opened up the podcast by saying I believe everyone has their zone of genius. So I think you're on board with me there.
Exactly.
Well, Marcia, you've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom, but if I could tap on you one last time here during our interview, in looking at your own experience in building your coaching and consulting business, what's some advice that you can share with a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business or doubting their ability to succeed?
What comes to mind is put yourself first. I think we tend to put emphasis on all the things that could go wrong or didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And when I say put yourself first, it is, what is that passion that you're bringing? What is that fire that's always lit within you? And putting that passion out there, putting that fire out there for yourself every day. Ask yourself, what do I need to do today to advance what's burning inside, that thing that I know is my driving passion? What is it that I need to do today to advance that passion? For me, I even light a candle in the morning and say, what do I need to do today to advance my goal, to advance what I want to do to make a difference?
Nice.
Put yourself first.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. That is powerful. And I really like how you attach the power and focus to lighting a candle. Yeah, I love that. That is fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing that golden, not just one nugget. There are several in there. So thank you so much. Yeah. And, you know, Dr. Boyd, it has just been so great hearing about your journey from your higher education career, you know, in the academic world, to the important work you're now doing, really connecting people, bringing them together across differences. And that includes institutions, obviously, as well as the individual leaders. And it's just been so wonderful just to hear about your journey and this powerful work you're doing. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you so much, Wendy, for inviting me and for the wonderful questions that you asked. And it's just been my pleasure to share this time with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it has really been fun for me. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Dr. Marcia Foster Boyd through her website, which is catalystconnectionsglobal.com. So connections is plural. So that's catalystconnectionsglobal.com. All right. For all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Dr. Marcia Foster Boyd. And as always, here's to your success.